This is the Seedbed Daily Text. The problem with our crosses. John 19:31-37. Now, it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath, because the Jewish leaders did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath. They asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you also may believe. These things happened so that Scripture would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And as another Scripture says, they will look on the one they have pierced. Consider this. They will look on the one they have pierced. When is the last time you looked upon the one we have pierced? We Protestants are big on the cross, but not so much on the crucifix. Why is that? For a faith built around the blood of Christ, we like our crosses pretty clean. The trouble is this scene was anything but clean. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. We gladly sing of surveying the wondrous cross, but when it comes down to it, there's not a lot of surveying going on. The empty cross declares life and resurrection. The crucifix declares suffering and death. Don't we need both? Is this not at least part of the purpose the gospel writers give us such graphic detail? It brings us back to Paul's declaration of longing we visited earlier. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, and to share in the fellowship of his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead, Philippians 3:10-11. Might it not aid us to share in the fellowship of his sufferings, to, at a minimum, be intimately familiar with them? Might we be well served to embrace the painful blessing of, quote, looking on the one we have pierced? Might it be time for the Protestant part of the church to learn to behold the pierced one? Years ago, when my oldest son was young, I kept a small statue of Jesus on the cross on my desk. One day he picked up the little crucifix, and as he pondered it with his small fingers, he asked me, "Daddy, what's this for? How do we use this?" The question arrested me. As I began to respond, probably with some ridiculous answer, he interrupted me, saying, "Or, Daddy, is this for looking at?" Abandoning my Sunday school answer, I replied to him, "Yes, David, that's exactly right. This is for looking at." I think I'm going to dig around and find that crucifix today. Yep, that's what I'm going to do. The prayer. Abba Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who endured the cross as the supreme act of love for us. Grant us fresh eyes to look upon the one we have pierced, to behold him in his suffering, that we might somehow become like him in his death. Come, Holy Spirit, and lead us in this way that leads to real resurrection power. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The questions. Number one, do you own a crucifix? If not, why not? And if so, how do you relate to or handle it? Number two, why do we resist the sign of the crucifix? Is it latent or active anti-Catholic bias? Is that a good reason? And number three, will you develop a practice of looking on the one we have pierced? Do you see the importance of this? Why or why not? For the awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.